Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yes, guy. Friday the 4th of September. In tune to Sweet Talking Sport. Radio chat show presented by myself this evening. It is straight to the point that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether that's local, whether that's international. Good to go on air, expansive debate analysed by myself, and when I have one or two guests. Yeah, this is your regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking chat show you'll ever hear. On point, good to go. Listen live and direct each Friday 6 till 7. And if you missed that slot, you can catch it on the archives. Well, tight. Yeah, you know. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening out there, but if you are, you know, please beware and keep this to yourself. Gonna jump straight in. And, do you know, in fact, yeah, just wall on, yeah, in fact, let's just touch base with the people out there, pass through the Leeds Carnival in Hare Hills last Monday, and the weather kind of held out as well. I heard that the day before on the Sunday, it was a bit of a rain out thing, you know, but I want you to bring the sun. You know, me and CV passed through there, bumped into one a few good people then, yeah, and didn't see no sign of trouble. Not like we went there for trouble, but if it happened, it was behind the scenes, you know, and that's where you should take it, yeah. Not that I'm advocating for it, but, you know, I saw it go. Yeah, so going to start off with a bit of a moan. And, you know, it's about boxing. I want to focus on Ben Davis as well. He's the guy in the corner, yeah, for Moses Itumu. And I've called out this guy before, but probably haven't been kind of like that coarse upon him. But, you know, I just want to say, two big fights, recent, and two big failures. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about the first one, and it's not the first time I'm chatting this on here, but it was the Fabio Wardley, yeah, on the 9th of May, Manchester. And this guy was in his corner against Triple D, and this is what he said to his boxer. You know what? Roll the dice. What kind? Yeah, I'll say it again. What kind of instructions is that? Gonna have to roll the dice, yeah? Well, your box is rolling the dice, you're collecting your corn, you know? And then he's in the corner for Moses Itumu. Afim Kana that, yeah? Now, this is quite disturbing. It was all to see. Itumu was madding up the fight. He was absolutely destroying Herkovic ahead, miles ahead on points. Yeah. And that fight just turned out like we didn't really expect, because everyone was bigging up Itumo, including myself. Do you know what? I couldn't really see him losing, but I did say that if it goes past eight or nine, then he's in deep water, yeah? And Moses, he never tread that water too good, because it's too muddy out there, so, you know what I mean? If fell terribly short last Saturday. Like I said, Herkovic was absolutely, you know, not looking like he was going to win it. And, you know, Moses kind of like just cruising, bruising him up, cruising, yeah? But he just emptied out the tank, you know what I mean? And what happens out there when you empty the tank? You have nothing left, innit? Not true. You have nothing left. So, emptied his tank out, no fuel left. Consequences of that, yeah? Get stretched off in the O2, yeah? And transported to Coley Hospital, yeah? In London. So, not a good sight to see. And the 2-21 against the dangerous Herkovic. And like I said, a lot of people kind of like ruled this guy out. Was it a lack of respect? Or was it to do with Itumo and Ben Davis? Because for me, only two men for blame for losing that fight. The boxer himself, yeah? And a corner man. So, if you're not doing what your corner man tells you to do, because don't forget, you've prepared, you've had your boxing camp, you know, where you've done your sparring, your conditioning, and then when you come out to fight, that's when you should be peaking fit, you know, like, you know, when you're on top of Kilimanjaro, yeah, that's when you're kind of like looking to explode, yeah, and bring everything what you've got and leave it all that's up, you know what I mean? But surely, you know, Herkovic was just soaking up everything, you know, like sponge, just soaking up the pressure, taking licks to his forehead, getting clapped here, left, right, center, yeah, rocking. But the guy was just like a big yard. Now go nowhere. Foundation solid. And I also want to add to this that psychologically, two more. Is it never gone past six, is it? So I think really he's looking to set a precedence here to say, do you know what? I don't go past six in none of my fight. Yeah? But let me tell you something. I'll terribly wrong. He got it all wrong. All too wrong. Yeah? So you can't just lick out smaddy that you know, you're the knockout artist and you can finish them off in six every single fight. No, it doesn't go like that. It doesn't go like that at all. But like I said, I'm calling out Ben Davis because, like, he must take some of it too, right? Now, he did tell him for kind of like focus and box the man, but you've got to look at his presence now. You've got to look at Ben Davis's presence. Has he got that autonomy to say, listen, I've told you not to bother blowout, not to bother gas. I've told you to work the body, yeah, and forget about the head. Now, if Itumo has paid that no mind, then surely respect's got to be questioned. And then Ben Davis is just earning his corn. Because there'd be so many coaches, right, what would just walk away from that to say, do you know what? You're good. You're young. You're going to be world champ one day, but you're not taking on board any information. Yeah? So, bearing in mind, go and look somebody else, because I'm out of here. There's certain coaches, certain managers, what would take that stance and, you know, come to some kind of negotiation, some kind of reasoning, do some talking, communication, you know, about ending that contract, yeah? And maybe putting a little mutual respecting, yeah? That, you know, it's not really going anywhere at all. And I just think that, you know, listening to Ben Davis, don't get carried away, yeah? Don't try and finish him, mate. Now, that was clear, right? Now, don't try and finish him, mate, yeah? To me, doesn't come with no authority, yeah? You've got to say, listen up now. You listen to me. I've told you, don't gas out. Don't try to finish him with 6 rounds, yeah? Because you're going to burn yourself out and then he's just going to double up and end it, yeah? So there's a way you get your message across, you know, when you're talking to your pupil or talking to, you know, your prodigy. You know, you can't be just, you know, saying, look, mate, you know, don't try to finish him. You know, I'm be too pally-pally or frenny-frenny, yeah? You need to have some kind of conviction in your voice to say, look, stop that, right? Stop that foolishness and stick to the game plan, yeah? Don't finish him because you're going to gas out. That language, yeah, you can understand. But when Davis is just kind of like a little mouse, you know, and don't finish him, mate. To me, do you know what? I just think that's like a little bit kind of like weak. You know what I mean? No conviction whatsoever. But listen to this little something here. I don't know if that wasn't all that kind of clear, but you know, it clearly did give him some instructions. Yeah, I get that, but it's for me, it's how you actually deliver them. Yeah, you've got to have conviction in your voice. You're the corner. You're training him. Yeah, you've kind of studied Herkovich. Weak points, strong points, yeah? You know how to attack him. What's he like coming forward? He's just going to walk you down. And if you're in the pocket, yeah, he's going to soak them up too. So you're going to have to box clever, right? Hey, listen, I ain't no boxing trainer or anything like that, but I've been around boxers. I've seen enough fights. You know, I've kind of done sparring. And I'm entitled to my opinion. So that's exactly what I'm going to do, because some people out there might say, do you know what? what do you know about boxing? You know, all you're doing is predicting a fight. Well, me and CV actually called it right, yeah? So that's what we know about it. And if you think, say, may I tell some kind of like Jackanory, yeah? Just jump on the archives from last week and it's all there, yeah? We're saying very clear that, you know, this could be a fight of a difference because Atumo is kind of like got that in his head to say, do you know what? I don't do six. And as a young guy, that's a little bit raw, you know what I mean? So it's a bit of a wake-up call. And what I would do, yeah, sack him, sack Ben Davis, sack him out, yeah, and get Triple D's trainer, because that man will actually box it in your face like he did to Triple D in a fight. And you can hear Triple D afterwards saying, yeah, that's what I needed. I needed a jab in my face just to, you know, wake me up. And that was against Wardley fight. So, you know what? You've got a difference. You've got different kinds of training. You've got the pretty boy trainer, what will just collect, like Ben Davis. Yeah? You know? Listen, mate. Yeah? Don't try to finish him. Yeah? No conviction whatsoever. Where you've got like Triple D's trainer, what's not afraid to just give you a slap in your face and say, listen, if you're paying me to be your trainer, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. Yeah? So, two kinds, you know? You can't really have your kind of pretty boy kind of style in there because that's what happens. Yeah? You're gonna get your lights turned out. But I think, yeah, you have to give props to Irkovic, you know, because, you know, not just for kind of soaking them up, it's the way how he dealt with things, yeah? The way how he dealt with things in the ring. And what did he say? He was saying that Itumo, you know, he's big fighter, but you kind of like big him up, you're blowing smoke up his rear, you know what I mean? So yeah, what a big upset. If you've just tuned in, you listen to Sweet Talking Sport, it's Friday the 4th of September 1816, and we're just kind of like analysing this boxing performance from last week, Irkovic against Itumo. And it didn't end too well for Itumo. Who would have thought he would have left the ring on a stretcher? You know what I mean? That anything can happen. Anything can happen in the boxing game. So yeah, biggest upset, I'd say, 2026. And not just the upset, it was just the way. Title on the line, WBA featherweight, world champion McGuigan shared his thoughts on the youngest display. And if you hadn't heard Barry McGuigan's kind of like assessment of the fight, I'm sure you can pick it up on YouTube, yeah. But he sort of said that the Croatia, when it came to speed and skill, he regularly landed eye-catching shots on, you know, on his opponent's chin. However, yeah, when those blows were absorbed and the, you know, the constant approach, his second-half superior experience, Irkovic tipped the fight in his favour, flipped it upside down like you've never known. But McGuigan, he sort of declared that 21-year-old has nobody to blame but himself and his coach for setting a pace that was too physically demanding. Now, that, for me, I'd probably have second thoughts about, because Atuma could say, well, if you're saying that, what's happened to my last fights? Not gone past six. Right, okay. Park that, put it on the shelf. So you could come back and you could say, well, who have you tested? Who's tested you? Yeah? Who's tested you in the ring? Right? So there's an argument there. But the other one as well, another issue as well, is that apparently Itumo hasn't sparred past seven rounds. Now, that is a joke. If that's true, yeah, that's the biggest joke, and we should all be laughing at that. Yeah, because, not because it's funny, but, you know, people say it's a serious game. You know, you don't play with boxing. Well, if you don't play it, why are you not sparring past seven? Me and CV were saying that minimum is 12. You should be sparring, yeah, 12 rounds. Unless you've got a diamond of a sparring partner and he's touched you a few times and you're saying, do you know what, let's call it a day. I get that. But apart from that, it should be sparring 12 rounds. You've got to be putting it in. Road work, gym work, sparring, bag work, and conditioning yourself as well to last, just in case. Yeah, but you can't cut it short, like to say, do you know what, I'm gonna done him in six or seven like the others. Yeah, because it doesn't always happen and it doesn't always read that way. 18/22, listen to Sweet Talking Sport, September the 4th, live and direct. Yeah, gonna flip it again. So we're gonna move into, gonna talk about Johnny Brownlee. People are saying, what? Who's he? Well, remember, he's got a brother. And just want to say that, in fact, the famous brothers, really, Johnny and Alistair. Alistair's the eldest one, retired at 36, and Johnny is also calling it a day as well. He's also retiring. Well, he's a triathlon. Some people out there might say also as well, what on earth do they do? I've heard of pentathlon, but a triathlon. Okay, so we're looking at three events, which is swimming, cycling, and running. And these Brownlees kind of like, yeah, you could put your food pan at that dead win, you know, because they are winners. But former world champ Johnny has retired at the age of 36. And, you know, I'm not sure with these triathlon, what's the average age of retirement, but I don't really business too much anyway. But, you know, the Britain, you know, he won the Olympic bronze in London 2012, 2013, something like that. Silver at Rio 2016, and gold in Tokyo 2020. So well glittered up. Yeah, he's also a six-time world champion and won mixed team relay gold at the 2014 Commonwealth Games. Bronze, 2014, yeah, that's right, Commonwealth Games. And his bro, Alistair, he was a double-double champion. He retired also at the age of 36 back in 24. But Johnny said that he'd been thinking about retiring from time, but never really sort of did it, but now he's took the plunge, yeah? And like I said, both of them kind of glittered up very kind of successful. Johnny said that he was really proud, you know, fully committed in winning medals. His best performances, beyond doubt, I've kind of surpassed him now. But over his professional career, it's now come to an end. So the Brownlee said that, what kind of plans has got for the future? Not quite sure, but probably will turn into, you know, sports pundit or something like that. They all seem to kind of go that way, really. Both from kind of West Yorkshire. People might say, which one's the better one, though? You know, the two brothers, like, you know. Well, in my opinion, it's Alistair who is the better one. Also, remember Mexico 2016 when, you know, Alistair helped Johnny over the line. So the older brother helped his younger brother over the line. Don't know if you can remember that, 2016. So his brother literally just picked him up and flung him over the line. And there was about, what, probably about 700 metres to go. I mean, there was a lot of questions from that because, you know, people were saying, hang on a minute, is that illegal or is it illegal manoeuvre, you know? Where does one stand? Where do you draw the line on that? You know, people would say, surely that is not allowed, yeah? You know, you're in a race, obviously looking to win, and you gain an advantage if somebody helped you over the line, or true. So they took that to, you know, the governing body, the Spanish people, them, their triathlon federation. They weighed in with a few punches too, as well as other nations as well. So, you know, they appealed. The appeal was rejected, believe it or not, because the reason why it was rejected, listen to this, you can get help from another athlete. That's the reason why it was rejected, yeah? Because it, you know, the Spanish people, them were saying that they wasn't impressed about it, and they wanted, you know, they wanted the Brownlee to actually be disqualified, yeah? But it says this. Yeah, this, no, yeah? It's like, it's not about, you know, getting help from outside, but you can get assistance from fellow athletes who are actually running in the race. You know, for that, I think you just have to crutch over your head, because if they're saying that nobody can help you from outside the ring, so you can't get a member of the public or probably some member of your team helping you from outside, but if you've got a colleague and you've entered the same race, then he can jump in and he can say, yo, let me give you help over the line. You listen to Sweet and I'm Talking Sport. It's 18:29. Yeah, and like I said, I can remember that, because it was splattered, right, all over the news. Yeah, splattered all over the news. You know, Sweet Talking Sport. Quan Rolls Royce in the background, don't it? Think me never know. I'm gonna flip into the football world now. I'm gonna talk about a man named Carl Fish and Chips. Yeah. Now, there's probably only a few people what will know who me I talk about. CV, the captain, yeah? And it's Aaron Ramsdale, yeah? Now, the reason I'm calling him out is because of his decline. And it could be one or two things. Remember, this guy was on the verge of England, yeah? And I think you've got to feel a little bit sorry for this guy. But wait till I let you know what kind of wages he's on a little bit later. But like, unfortunately, he's fell down the pecking order. He's not even number two at Southampton, right? Do you think he's number three? Go ahead. He's fourth in the pecking order. Aaron Ramsdale. And, you know, the head coach of Southampton, Tonda, says Ramsdale still has a role at the club, really. Support the team despite becoming their fourth choice goalkeeper. Now, Ramsdale's still only 28. He's still only a pup at football. Now, is there a team what could take him out of that? Maybe. Maybe he doesn't want to go because of his kind of like salary, you know? But yeah, he was kind of like, in fact, I mean, the teams that that Ramsdale was kind of like playing for, right? Don't forget, he's his fourth choice. So he started at Bolton Wanderers, which I wasn't really aware of, but only in their kind of youth kind of like setup. Two stints down at the Lane, which was what, 2016-17 season, and then also in 20-21. Played at Chesterfield also as well, Wimbledon and Bournemouth. And obviously he was at Arsenal also as well. So, you know, what happened to him? Why did his football kind of decline? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because, you know, the modern game, it changes, doesn't it? It evolves. So keepers have got a massive expectation now, not only just to keep the ball out of the net, but to play football out of the net. You know, can you be that sweeper? Are you confident with your kicking ability? Yeah, can you, you know, what's your kicks like? So it's not just about stopping goal now, it's can you actually play ball? Yeah, that is a big one. So I mean, yeah, Ramsdale, he was, and in fact, I can remember when he first went to Arsenal, because the fans didn't really kind of take to him too tough, innit? So he kind of started to interact with the crowd, yeah. Just to become, I wouldn't say a fan's favourite by far, but just to become kind of noticeable, really, and give him some kind of presence in goal. And I think, I'd like to think that he started winning people over. I mean, somebody's going to have to correct me if I'm wrong there, but I believe a coach must have said, you know what? You need to win these people over, or they're going to make your mind. They're going to make your stay here like hell, you know. So Ramsdale did start to interact and won a few man of the matches, and I thought he did, you know, quite well in at the end. But you know that this decline is a massive worry. Right, his wages now, 120 a week. Yeah, and that's gross. So I presume, you know, there's clauses in there like win bonus, if you're selected, if you play, save a penalty, whatever, you know, along them lines, his bonus will probably kick up that, you know. But yeah, so it's a big massive fall. And even when he was at Arsenal and Raya come, it was kind of obvious. I mean, that put pressure upon your player anyway. Put some serious pressure on him to perform, knowing that they're bringing in another specialist, another goalkeeper. So football, yeah, it can be cruel at times. You know, one minute you can be up, you know, and the other minute you can crash, and you can crash hard and crash down too, you know. 18:36, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's just me, one Yasso, holding the fort. But it's good still, isn't it? And I just want to, sticking with football, I want to raise the profile of another player. So we go from one extreme to the other. Stay with me, yeah? So we've just discussed Ramsdale. And just, you know, from being first choice to now fourth choice goalkeeper. Yep, it can be really tough out there. But this is a player who I know well. Not personally. I know him as a footballer. And it's Illiman Ndiaye. Now, when this guy come to when this guy came to Bramall Lane, dangerous, isn't it? And don't forget, I think we're talking 7 years ago, this guy, Illiman Ndiaye, was playing non-league football, Boreham Wood. Yeah? So there were quite a few clubs looking at him at the time, but that ship sailed. They miss it. Yeah? Umming and ahhing. And that's what can happen. You know, when you haven't got your eye on the trigger and you miss a player, no matter what kind of league, well, if it's non-league or if it's Saturday league, you might be able to fudge it up. You know what I mean? And also, not just that, but confident you'd get away with it too. But Illiman Ndiaye, like I said, 7 years ago, he was playing non-league. And when he came to United, yeah, still a little bit raw, but he had the confidence to take on people. And not just take them on, but beat them and make them look stupid. Yeah? When he come to United now, there were many times the guy was on the bench, and even I was saying to CV, I was like, oh, you know, what's going on there? You know? I said, like, we've got a player, Dredd, wicked baller, yeah, just needs a chance. And he got his chance. And he was just yamming up the defence like Pac-Man and all them something there, yeah? He was just yamming them up. So, you know, I've seen him bust go from inside his own half, just dancing through man and man and putting the ball in the back of the net. What a sight is that to actually see live. So, am I surprised with his moves? No, not really. Could United have done better? I think they had their hands tied, to be honest with you, because, you know, contract running down. It was clear that it wasn't really going to sign anything else. And then United did actually persuade him to kind of stop. But then apparently, you know, his wife were tugging on the strings and saying, listen, I've got cold feet, I want to chip back to France. So that's exactly what they did, even though Everton did sort of come in for him as well. But they was unsuccessful at that time with you know, probably like and die in his family's desire to move back to France. And I get that too. So then it didn't really work out there. He wasn't really the golden boy. He wasn't the star man anymore. And then he kind of must have got hold of an agent and sent a signal out to say, I want to come back. And then Everton, they had the right kind of, you know, capacity to take that on and, you know, and sign him. So, you know, like I said, ended up at in France and then ended back with Everton in the Premier League. And there were talks for a while that Tottenham were hunting him, wanted his signature. It didn't quite happen. They were dilly-dallying. I think Grealish was supposed to go one way and die the other way. Richarlison was going to go... Yeah, that's right. Richarlison was going to go back to Everton, apparently. And then Ndai to Spurs. But umming and ahhing over finance didn't really kind of happen. But Man City are the beneficiaries now. They have got Illiman. And I don't see why not to track his performance. In fact, I'm looking forward to watching Illy play. Still only a kind of like young dude too. So got bags of time left in him. Yeah. Still, what? Must be about 25 or 26, Illy, at the moment. And what a remarkable story that is. Like I said, 7 years ago, just a kick non-league ball, innit? Yeah, for Boreham Wood. And then, like I said, he got spotted. And there were some teams dilly-dallying. And you know what happens when you dilly-dally? You miss ship sail, you miss your boat, innit? And the rest, like I said, is history. But, you know, on his journey now, he's got Man City to add to his CV. And completed a deal worth 65. I mean, when rumours were flying around that was first looking maybe to leave Everton and go to Spurs, I'm sure people were looking or quoting around about 80. But 65 for a player like that in modern day society, yeah, there's some legs in that, without a doubt. And that move was finalised on deadline day. You know, the Senegal Internash is well kind of sorted. Yeah, he's kind of well sorted. It's 18:43. Listen to Sweet Talking Sport on this Friday evening. Yeah, you've got me up until kind of like 7 o'clock. Yeah, do you know what? Let's dip into the championship, yeah? And we've got, you know, the return of Norwich City at the Lane tomorrow. I mean, you know, United pulled off a last minute victory the other night. Last minute fiasco Aguan, and Donovan rifled in a bullet, yeah, in injury time, and a much needed victory as well. I mean, you know, despite all Sheffield United's woes, you know, they're still unbeaten at the moment, which is people might say, oh yeah, you know, you've only played four games. Well, that's four games unbeaten. Yeah, if you want to include the cup, then that's five games unbeaten. But yeah, it's it's not really looking that great, even though they're unbeaten. And you've got to give credit while credit's due. And I think, you know, Wilder's done a reasonable good job in steadying the ship. You know, they've lost some big dupes out there. Aimer, O'Ear, Brooks, who's next? Yeah, who's next upon the list? And the goals what United scored last season literally came from that 3-0. I'm not saying that they, you know, to share the goals out between them, but they was involved to a degree. Yeah, Amo, creative. Yeah, people might say, yeah, why am I carrying some weird talk there? And I realised that he came on a sub the other day against Coventry. But, you know, I get that because he had, he didn't really have long left on his contract. And rather than run it down, yeah, United could have been bad. They could have said, listen, you ain't going anywhere. Yeah, you're going to run out your contract and you're going to play in that red and white shirt. And I believe Hamer would have been all right with that because he knows, yeah, the following season, him gone. Nothing to do with him. So that's Hamer there for you. But I mean, it was Brooks what started the exodus. Not that he wanted to leave, apparently, yeah, but it was a very good show as well. So this is Brooks's first return back to Bramall Lane since his 8-9 million move to Norwich. Would you say Norwich are, you know, heading for the playoffs? I think so. I think they've recruited very well, even though that they're not kind of like obviously pulling up trees at the moment. You know, played 4-1-1, drawn, lost 3, scored 5 against 7. They're in a deficit of goal difference of, you know, minus 3. 3 points they've got. But, like I said, you know, Wilder has got a way of getting a tune out of these players what they've got left. I believe that they're shopping in the, you know, you might say, bargain basement kind of, you know, looking for them kind of like players now. But if you kind of, if you're lucky, then, you know, you've got to have a degree of luck in football, a degree of luck of what, anything what you really do, really. So, yeah, a little prediction tomorrow. It's going to be tough, but yeah, you could say that about every game in the Championship, could you? Well, again, maybe falls down to a matter of opinion, because if you're looking at current form and stuff, then United win this game by the odd goal. I think they'll be happy with a point also as well. But 3 would be delicious. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Wilder's having to juggle behind the scenes. No direct funds available to kind of like, you know, to kind of like splash the cash. Yeah, we know the transfer window's gone. And after the game at the other night, Wilder straight down the tunnel on his phone. Has that deal gone through? Well, he probably got told that, you know, you're gonna have to work with what you've got now. It's as simple as that. And who would take over if Wilder, you know, handed in his recognition to the board and said, listen, I can work miracles, but I can't work this. You know what I mean? That, you know, some people called him out. Some people said, yeah, he's going to walk. I didn't think that he would kind of walk, to be honest with you. He's got a job to do. And he's kind of like through and through. So, Sheffield United currently lying 9th. Don't really kind of do a league table so early, but, you know, just for the record of it, yeah, currently relying 9th on that. Norwich are 20th in the table. So I don't think it counts for anything really if you're looking at the tables at the moment, because a win could take Norwich right up there. I mean, if it is a home win for United, Cooper absolutely playing wicked, playing dangerous. And I tip Cooper for a Premiership slot, whether it's with Sheffield United or another team, is obviously to remain to be seen. But, you know, watch that kind of space. 18:50 and counting. Just going to dip into Wednesday at the moment. I mean, yeah, they got a good win the other day, didn't they? Popped in 7, or can't remember the final score, but certainly popped in about 7. I think with Wednesday, where their fans are concerned is not to get too kind of carried away, yeah? And it's so kind of easy to get carried away, isn't it? Yeah? I mean, during the early parts of recovery, after a financial row, you could say. So, you know, they, like I said, popped in 7. It's quite easy to get complacent when you're bussing that amount of goals. Am I impressed? No, not really. If they bust 7 again this weekend, would I impress? Yeah, maybe I would be. Yeah, but like I said, it's early days. The club suffered, yeah, a lot last season with wages. The CEO, is it Bruce, and one owner, they kind of like were saying, look, you need to prepare, you need to start afresh, we need to do things from the start. So hopefully they're filling in that now. Okay. So, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I keep looking for Wednesday in the Championship, and when I have to tell myself stop it, because I'm in League One. So it just requires a little bit more digging out, you know, with teams not really into the kind of same situation. Yeah, I mean, let's have a look at the Premiership. Yeah, they've only played a couple of games, but, you know, what about Hull City? People said that their bubble might burst soon, but, you know, I think they're riding high. They kind of, like, deserve where they are. You're there where you are on merit alone. You know, but Hull City at the moment have been sandwiched with Arsenal and also Chelsea, the other side of them. Currently lying in third. And if it finished that way, what a remarkable season that would be. Who knows? I think people will be still tipping them for, you know, relegation. But the thing that they've got 6 points on the board so early in what is arguably the most toughest league in the world, you know. So I saw it go sometime, people. Yeah, I saw it go. 18:53. And I just want to look at a few bits and pieces, you could say. Yeah, I mean, there was gossip looking around Arsenal and Barcelona were monitoring the Rashford kind of like situation just before deadline day. Rashford sort of like rejuvenated his kind of like his career basically at Barca, got on the score sheet a few times, and also kind of like set it up a few chances too. But, you know, Rashford, tough lad, and this would also kind of make him into a guy as well. So, yeah, that's kind of like, just kind of like listening to the tunes in the background here, and hope you're kind of like loving that. Hmm, interesting. In fact, I'm gonna might just leave you with a little tunes just bubbling in the background. Yeah. 1855 Sweet Talking Sport. They're gonna play you out. All this. VIP sipping Dawn, next on my arm, cause everything I make be the bomb. Rappers, singers, plays the swingers, pinky rings on our fingers, definitely bell That's ringers, right. living right. life luxurious. And I remember the ways, but you still got me curious. You didn't hear me calling out, and that's not what I was about. No, no. I remember. Oi. You never know, some have these tunes, them, is it? Yeah? Mmm. Go on.
Tell you what we
Yeah, clock in, clock out. Rinse and repeat.